Chapter 2. Che would have sworn on the photo of his parents that the Kitasawat family owned a mop.
"What kind of house doesn't have a mop?"
he demanded out loud to the universe. However, no matter how many closets he scoured, Che could not find anything to scrub the floors with. That was unacceptable. Kim was coming over tonight, and the house had to be both scent-free and spotless. Che had spent 2 hours after school opening windows, cleaning every flat surface, and making sure his bedroom, with its embarrassing idol wall, was safely locked away. Now, he was frantically trying to both clean the floors and wash a mountain of dishes before Kim got there. Porsche would have known if they owned a mop. If he were here, he'd manage to both mop the floor and calm Che down before Kim arrived. But Porsche wasn't here. He had left a bullshit note and run off, leaving Che without his big brother. The thought of what Porsche could be doing set Che's pulse pounding. Porsche could be in trouble. He could be hurting. He could need him, and Che would never know. Che plunged both hands into the sink of soapy water. Since Porsche left, the urge to drop everything and comb the city until Che found him had been overwhelming. But that wasn't what Porsche wanted from him. He wanted Che to live in this house all alone, so that's what Che was doing. Sure, he was crying himself to sleep every night in Porsche's bed, but he was fine. He was totally fine. They probably didn't have a mop. Dishes were more important anyway, and Che had to prioritize, because it was only him here to clean, because his brother had left him alone to have panic attacks while scrubbing burnt ramen off the bottom of the pot, and... "Breathe, Che," he whispered to himself, wrapping his dripping hands around himself in a hug. "You're all right. Just breathe, pup." He could say Porsche's lines if his brother wasn't here to say them. "Porsche is probably safe," he continued, shakily. "Yok is safe. Drom and Tem and Om are safe. Your classmates are safe. P. Kim is... not safe, you don't think, but you can help with that." He squeezed himself tighter and took in another shuddering breath. The fact that he'd met his idol and promptly invited him into his home was probably normal behavior, right? Anyone would have invited Wick into their home. He'd read fanfic about it. It was probably less normal that he'd immediately decided he was going to help Kim get out of whatever terrible situation he was clearly trapped in. It had taken only one of Kim's nauseating false smiles for all of Che's instincts to kick into overdrive. He'd grown up with Porsche. He knew exactly what it looked like when an Omega put on an act to charm their way into someone's good graces. He knew what it looked like when that Omega was desperate. Che went back to washing the dishes. He was taking psychology of gender dynamics this year, so it was obvious to him that he was taking all the protection he wanted to lavish on Porsche and focusing it onto this stranger instead. Nothing settled Che like caring for other people. His friends called it an alpha thing, but he and Porsche called it a Kitasawat thing. Kim was rich and famous, so he probably had people. Assistants? Managers? He obviously had friends and family and stuff. He didn't need Che to help him. Well, he was getting Che's help anyway. Che was going to make sure Kim felt safe and happy forever, and he was going to be very normal about it. Yeah. So, Che was fine. A part of him honestly hadn't thought Kim would really show up until he was actually knocking on his door. Che bounded over and flung it open. In his videos, Wick was beautiful in the way a statue or art was beautiful. Here, standing on Che's doorstep in a white sleeveless shirt and black leather pants, a guitar slung over his shoulder, a tangle of chains around his neck and rings on his fingers, he was heart-stopping because he was real. "Hi," Che said stupidly.
"Hey."
Kim's voice was lovely, even when he was speaking. Che had had hours to get used to it yesterday, but he hadn't.
"Heck, quit staring!
Do you want to sit outside? We have a patio."
"Sure."
Porsche always preferred to sit outside at a new alpha's house, at least at first. The new scent could be overwhelming. Che waved his hands at the outdoor table encouragingly. "Do you drink water?" Kim stared at him for a few seconds before saying,
"Yeah."
"Okay, I'll get us some."
He left the door open when he went to the kitchen, just in case Kim wanted a peek inside the house. When he carefully carried the glasses outside, sure enough, Kim kept casting sneaky glances at the open door of the house.
"Don't worry, I cleaned since you've never been here before. But we can stay out here the whole time, too," Che said brightly.
"Did you really bring your guitar? Wow, I literally can't imagine what possessed me to offer to play in front of you." Kim toyed with one of his silver bracelets and gave Che a fake, warm smile.
"I've seen your hands. You're definitely better than you think you are."
It sounded rehearsed, like a line Porsche would use on a big tipper, and then laugh about with Che afterwards.
"I'm really not, but, that's nice of you to say."
Without warning, Kim reached out and took both of Che's hands in his. His grip was light, but Che felt suddenly pinned in place by the heat of his fingertips. Kim turned Che's hands palm up.
"See," he said softly, "calluses. You practice hard."
This was a lot of touching all of a sudden. Kim hadn't seemed like the sort of person who enjoyed touching other people very much. It rang false, like a guitar out of tune. But there was one thing that was definitely real.
"P. Kim,"
he said, concerned, untangling their hands. "You're hurt." Kim tucked his hands in his lap, but not fast enough. Che had seen his knuckles, torn and barely scabbed over. They hadn't been like that yesterday.
"I'm not," Kim said, voice suddenly curt. It was miles away from the softness a second ago.
"You obviously are."
Che got up again. "I'll be right back. Just sit still." Due to their lifestyle, the Kitasawats had a very well-stocked first aid kit. Che bustled back outside with it and sat beside Kim.
"Man, you really got someone good."
"Eh, I'm sure they deserved it." Che waggled a roll of gauze and a tube of antiseptic cream temptingly. Kim did not look tempted.
"It's fine," he said, cold and blank as ice.
"Sure," Che agreed.
"But it could be more fine. Look, this cream says it promotes healing. Imagine what the internet would say if you did a video with knuckles like that. Come on, you have a live stream next week."
"How do you know that?"
"Definitely not because I've memorized your performance schedule," Che said, very convincingly. The ice thawed enough for a tiny smirk.
"Definitely not."
"I'm a fan," Che said, flustered, It's not my fault I met you in real life.
The smirk disappeared. Silently, Kim put his hands on the table again. Relieved to have something to focus on, Jay started dabbing the cream. He used a cotton swab and tried to keep the skin contact to a minimum.
Don't worry, I'm really good at wrapping up busted knuckles. I did it all the time for Porsche.
Do it. I do it all the time. Who's Porsche? Jay looked up at him, gobsmacked.
You know, Porsche.
Kim shrugged.
Literally, how have I had a conversation with you and not brought up Porsche?
Jay demanded, almost betrayed.
He's the most important person in my entire life.
Kim nodded. He was carefully casual when he said, He's your Omega, then? They had both apparently skipped the reveal their dynamic part of the conversation and jumped right in with it out in the open. That worked. Jay hadn't been trying to hide it. Still, Jay didn't like people talking about Porsche that way. He's my brother, Jay corrected firmly. My older brother. Our parents died when I was just a baby, so he basically raised me. He's this kick-ass fighter and the top bartender at his job. He's so tough that even the debt collectors won't come around when he's home. He's amazing.
Uh-oh. Now Che was thinking about Porsche, and lately that had not been ending well.
Che cleared his throat. Anyway, he's not around right now, but he'll come back soon.
So, he left you.
There was no way Kim meant for that to hurt as much as it did. He just didn't understand, that was all. Jay sucked in a breath and started weaving the bandages between Kim's knuckles. He didn't want to. That's one thing I know for sure. Kim was watching him like he was looking for clues. Jay wanted to tell him that he wasn't a complicated person. It would save Kim a lot of time to just ask his questions. But that would be rude. He almost choked on his own tongue when Kim said,
You could just order him back here.
Che took a moment to wrap some more gauze. Well, he said slowly, I don't think he'd like that very much. Kim's fingers twitched. Besides, Porsche never does anything I tell him to do. I'm always like, get some sleep, Hia. Eat your share of dinner, Hia. And yet, Che tied the end of the wrapping on Kim's hand. Ta-da! Next one, please. Kim held up his other hand for Che to weave the gauze around his fingers. He looked very frustrated, which was not the vibe Che had been going for at all. Do you have siblings? He asked, in an attempt to lighten the mood.
No.
That's too bad.
I like it that way.
I guess that makes sense. I bet you'd be a good brother, though. Kim's voice was bitter when he said,
I doubt it.
Che was not doing a good job at this cheering up thing.
Sure you would. You lectured me about safety during our first conversation. That's peak brother behavior.
Kim pulled his hand away, even though Che wasn't quite done. He was looking more and more stressed, which was literally the opposite of what Che wanted. He needed to fix it. Unfortunately, he knew exactly how. Do you want to play a little bit?
Kim gave a short nod. Go get your guitar. We'll do a lesson.
Bossing me around, Che said knowingly, heading into the house. Another classic brother trait. Kim huffed at him and didn't respond. Playing guitar with Kim was simultaneously a nightmare and a dream come true. Che was so out of his depth. But also, the longer they played, the more relaxed Kim became. True to his word, he jumped right into dissecting Che's playing, starting with his finger positions, sloppy, and how he was holding the instrument, incorrectly. When Kim got up and stood behind him to fix his fingering, Che had braced for a return of that fake, flirty persona. But instead, Kim became focused. Where the sweet words had rankled, this version of Kim tugged at something deep inside Che. It made him want to lean into Kim's solid bulk. It made him want to find the person who taught him the sweet words in the first place and do something mean to them. "No," Kim said, for a second time. "Look, you have to press more firmly on the fretboard. You're too hesitant. It's affecting your tone. Here." This time, when Kim put his hand over Che's, it was professional, almost clinical. He pressed Che's fingers down on the metal strings so ruthlessly that it kind of hurt. Che played the chord again, and when Kim said, "Better," Che's heart fluttered. He turned his head to beam at Kim over his shoulder. "You're a good teacher, P. Kim." Kim looked taken aback. Che added getting Kim used to compliments onto his mental list for making the guy happy. He clearly didn't know what to do with them, which was wild, considering the comment section of his YouTube videos. Oh god, Che really hoped Kim never read the comments on his YouTube videos. "Play me something you've written," Kim said. Che would rather crash Porsche's motorcycle, thanks. "Hey, P. Kim, save me some face," he begged. "I wasn't even holding the guitar right." "So you do compose," Kim said, smug. "I thought so. Play it for me." Che craned around to look at him pleadingly. Kim was more relaxed than he'd been all evening, smirking at Che because he absolutely knew he was torturing him. The light of the setting sun touched his face with gold and licked the edges of his white shirt red. Che took a deep breath and caught a whiff of a sharp, clean scent. He was so helpless against this person. And why shouldn't he be? Che's whole plan had been to give Kim every single thing he ever wanted, right? The plan had gone something like that, he was pretty sure. "Okay," Che breathed. He cleared his throat and whipped his head back around so that maybe Kim wouldn't see his blush. "But you're not allowed to laugh." Kim was already laughing on the inside. Che could hear the lilt of it in his voice. "All right." "I started it when Porsche, left." Kim gave a little hum to show he was listening. He stayed behind Che, clearly not intending to move. That was better, because then Che wouldn't have to see him wincing at Che's terrible song. "It's just a verse and half a chorus," he said, in one last-ditch effort to lower expectations. "Che," Kim said, his voice dropping into a commanding register. "Play it." Che played it. His voice started out wavery, but Kim didn't laugh. The sharpness of Kim's scent felt like it was cutting through the noise in Che's brain. He breathed it in, felt like he could think clearly again. He really only did have a little bit of the song done, though, and eventually he petered off. "That's it." Kim was quiet for a second, then his steadying warmth moved away from Che's back. Che, very bravely, did not whimper about it. Kim sat at the same side of the table and grabbed his own guitar. Effortlessly, he picked out the melody line Che had been singing. He played it a few times, then switched to harmonizing chords as he hummed it instead. Wick was singing Che's song.
Holy shit.
Kim stopped humming, frowned. Maybe something like... He adjusted the chord slightly.
Ooh, P. Kim, what about... Hang on.
Che's transitions were messier, but Kim got the idea. He picked up the notes and echoed them back to Che flawlessly. They tossed the song back and forth like that, as the sun set and the sky got darker around them. Che hadn't known that making music could feel like this. It was like he'd been playing without one of his hands this whole time. When he glanced at Kim, the other boy looked calm. So much calmer than Che had ever seen him. It wasn't happiness. Not yet. But Che would accept it as a job well done. Eventually, by unspoken mutual agreement, they let the notes fade. The night was soft and warm around them. Che decided to push his luck just a little bit further. "P. Kim," he said softly, "do you want to come inside?" Kim ran one of his fingers along the neck of his guitar. "All right." Che could be a hard person to refuse. He knew that. Sometimes even his beta friends gave in to him without thinking. So he'd learned to hear an absence of a yes just as clearly as a no. "P. Kim," he said again, looking at his own guitar. "Do you want to, though?" Kim's scent vanished.
"Of course," he said.
Ugh, that warmth was back in his voice again. It was always such a lie, and Che hated it.
"Well, too bad," he said,
forcing himself to sound teasing. "Because I have school tomorrow, and it's getting late." "Are you kicking me out?" Kim asked, the warmth vanishing into incredulity. To be fair, this had probably never happened to him before.
"No, of course not," said Che,
because he was a weak, weak man. "I'm just saying that it's time for me to watch a dumb drama and fall asleep." Kim put his guitar in his case. He did it slowly, like he was hesitating over something. Che waited, and eventually was rewarded with, "I used to watch a lot of dumb dramas." "Did you see the one where the boy's actually a ghost?" "I've seen all the ones where the boy's actually a ghost." Che took his courage into his hands.
"Wanna watch one with me?"
Kim still sounded incredulous, like he couldn't believe his own words. "Yeah." Che's heart lurched forward, and he clung to his guitar to stop himself from literally reaching for the honesty wrapped in that one word. He was in trouble. He was in so much trouble.
"Cool,"
he said, hoping it sounded kind of normal.
"Come on in. I'll grab us a snack."
Tenkun had called Kim once, his second year of university. Kim had known he shouldn't pick up, but he couldn't help it.
"What?"
He had only heard breathing over the line. He hated silence from his brother. It reminded him of being a kid, curling up around a nonverbal Tenkun to make a nest out of his bed, filling it with as much soothing scent as he could.
"Tenkun," he'd said harshly.
"Aye, so cold,"
Tenkun said breezily, like he hadn't been weirdly quiet.
"Can't a man check on his brother? How are you? I saw the new cover you posted. It was good, but honestly, you could stand to wear a bit more color in your videos."
Kim's Omega had responded to a Pack Alpha's voice with puppy-like eagerness. He'd missed Tenkun so much in the beginning.
I'm not taking fashion advice from you.
Why not? My fashion is impeccable.
Tenkun, tell me what you want.
Are you okay?
Kim had killed some people the night before. He could have shot them cleanly, right through the forehead, but he'd beaten them to death instead.
Why wouldn't I be okay?
I know our father calls you sometimes. I know you were in the mansion last week. What is he?
Leave it.
Nong.
It's nothing important.
I can tell Kin to.
Fuck, Kun, keep him out of this. Even back then, Kim had known that getting his brothers involved would make everything a million times worse. If he put two alphas in the position where they had to choose between their Omega little brother or their pack leader father, someone would die. And their father was too crafty to be killed. Kim wasn't the kind of Omega who needed protecting. Until he found a way to neutralize his father. Keep dreaming, Omega. Protection only took one form. So Kim had brought all his darkness out to play and made sure Tenkun heard it.
Stop trying to contact me. I'm making my own life. There's no room for you.
Now, sitting with Che and watching a deeply stupid drama, Tenkun was all Kim could think about. He still sent Kim gift baskets every time one of his singles topped the charts. They were ridiculous things, stuffed with weird snacks and bizarrely patterned clothes that smelled like Tenkun, bright and citrusy. Sometimes there was another scent, a smoky underlay, and Kim would wonder how Tenkun had managed to get Kin to scent random shirts. Kim had told Che that he didn't have brothers. Che chuckled next to him when one of the stupid characters did something that would have had Tenkun in hysterics. The two of them were sitting side by side on the couch, with Che's battered laptop on the coffee table.
If I did that, I think I'd die, Che commented.
You would, Kim said, distracted. Humans can typically only survive falls up to 8 meters.
I fell off our roof when I was 6, Che volunteered. Broke my arm and my ankle and my collarbone.
Kim focused on the present. The roof?
I was home alone. My uncle was always off somewhere when he was supposed to be watching me. Pretty sure that's why Porsche dropped out of school so fast. I probably would have ended up decapitating myself or something.
Che said it casually, like he truly thought it was no big deal to leave a pup unsupervised at the age of 6. It set Kim's Omega's hackles up.
Your uncle's still around? Kim asked, just as casually.
Che's face fell. Not really. I guess he'd been stealing from us for a long time, and Porsche found out, so, yeah. That happened, like, a month ago.
Right around the same time Porsche had signed a contract with Kim's family for a large amount of money. Definitely not a coincidence.
And then Porsche left, too, Che continued, twisting his hands together. He shook himself and gave Kim a quick smile.
So anyway, it's nice to make fun of dramas with someone else again. It's just been me talking to myself.
Kim did not like that mental image. He gave a short nod, and they both went back to watching the show. Porche Kitasawa's house did not seem like a place most people would be eager to leave. Kim had braced himself for the overbearing alpha stench, but it wasn't there.
Instead, the house smelled like cleaning products and outside air. It had been such a relief that Kim still felt it melting the tension from his body. Every time he took a breath and didn't feel like the very air was screaming at him to submit, he breathed again more deeply. Just because he could. He was lucky that Che was apparently a neat freak. The episode finished and automatically started playing the next one.
"Pekim, did you ever break a bone?"
Che asked, his voice drowsy. "Broke all the toes on my left foot once."
"Wow.
Rugby," Kim lied.
"Of course you play rugby," Che mumbled. "I bet you're amazing at it."
Che had been doing that all night, praising him. Kim's Omega loved it, of course. Like it needed any more reason to be obsessed with Che. If Che knew he was an Omega, his compliments wouldn't be like this. They'd be compliments about his looks, his charm, his sweet voice. Somehow, though, Che treating him like a beta made him even more furious than those gross compliments would have. Knowing he was being treated well based on a lie was hard to stomach. After half the episode passed in silence, Kim glanced over. Che's head had dropped against his chest, his eyes closed. "Che," Kim said, very quietly.
"Hmm?"
"You're falling asleep."
"Uh-huh."
Normally, this would be when Kim would release his stranglehold on his scent and let it lure Che into a deep sleep. Once the Omega had soothed him, Kim could bend over Che's sleeping body and slice right through the soft skin of his throat. The show played on in the background, sounding louder now in the stillness. He had no idea what time it was, but it had to be late. Kim hadn't taken his scent blockers since last night, and they were never completely effective anyway. He forced himself to relax into the arm of the couch and let some of his scent escape. Che tipped over onto the cushions, completely asleep. He was wearing a large t-shirt with a stretched collar. It hung loose when he lay down, revealing his throat. Kim had a knife in his boot. Killing him wasn't the job, but suddenly, Kim wanted his hands on Che's neck with a ferocity that surprised him. He wasn't having to force his scent into the air anymore. It was coming easily, filling the room. Che snuffled and wrapped his arms around himself. He could curl up so small for such a lanky guy. Kim's scent usually made his marks get hard in their sleep. He'd watched old men cream themselves over a wet dream right before he killed them. He'd let them, because he wanted a reminder of what they would do if he kept them alive. When it came to poor Che Kitasawat, apparently his scent just made the boy cry. Che hugged himself like he was trying to keep warm, while a slow tear traced down his cheek. He buried his face in the couch cushions with a miserable sound. Kim's Omega roiled with the need to touch, comfort, soothe. Slowly, Kim reached out and traced a finger along the delicate skin of Che's exposed throat. He could feel the warmth and the flutter of his pulse. If Kim had been holding a knife, Che would be dead. In his sleep, Che turned into Kim's touch and let out a little shivery sigh. His mouth formed a word that might have been anything. Might have been Hia. Might have been Kim's own name. Kim traced the line of Che's throat over and over until Che relaxed. Kim had made that happen. His Omega purred with success.
Don't get used to it, Kim hissed under his breath.
Che wiggled a little closer to him, and Kim did not move away. Kim traced the line of Che's throat over and over, until Che relaxed. Author's notes. Kim is doing an excellent job of being sneaky and sly and covert and... just let him have this, you guys.